Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is the Psalm of the day, Psalm number 90, reading verses 1 and 2 and then verses 12 through 17. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from eternity to eternity, you are God. Teach us to number our days in such a way that we bring a heart of wisdom. Turn, O Lord, how long? Change your mind toward your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your mercy, so that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. Let your deeds be seen by your servants, and your majesty by their children. May the kindness of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So far our text. Dear people of God, Psalm 90 is the one psalm of Moses. King David wrote just about half the Psalms. Moses, just one. Now Moses also wrote the first five books of the Bible, but only one psalm. In his psalm, Moses talks to each one of us, living in our individual positions, each of us with our own special responsibilities. And Moses reminds us to be humble before the Lord. But then also he encourages us to boldly go to the Lord and ask, because the man of God needs the Lord. Moses begins by saying quite boldly that the Lord gave birth to the mountains. Now that, of course, is a picture. It's a picture of the Lord creating the mountains, as well as the earth and the sky and the universe, all in six regular 24-hour days. I say that Moses wrote that very boldly because of how the world laughs at us when we proclaim our faith, that we believe that the Lord is our maker and redeemer. What we see is not an accident of the stars. We are not evolved gorillas. We are fearfully and wonderfully made on purpose. We were created to be human beings, created to be the pinnacle of God's creation. The greatest of the creatures that the Lord made and given blessings that other creatures don't get. The Lord made us to be with him forever, so we can see his glory and love and then willingly praise him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind. Now, where did Moses get this countercultural idea that God created everything? Well, Moses got the idea from Genesis chapters 1 and 2, which he wrote. Moses was God's spokesman. He was God's writer. He was the one who revealed to us the works and the wonders of God. When Moses says that the Lord is the creator, and that even before creation, the Lord existed, and he's deserved praise because he is awesome, Moses knows what he's talking about. Because the Lord personally told Moses all of these things. Probably when Israel was wandering in the wilderness for those 36 years between their time on Mount Sinai and the time that they made their final push into the promised land. Moses knew what he was talking about. Moses saw God. He saw how great and awesome the Lord is. And so he reminds us to be humble before the Lord. The Lord is great. We are not. The Lord is eternal. We are not. The Lord is the creator, which means that we are responsible to him, which means he is the great judge on the last day that we will all have to stand before. Therefore, when you talk about him, when you approach him, when you handle his word, be careful and be humble before the Lord. However, don't be afraid. Don't do as many people have done and say, oh, this God and this eternity thing is so mind-blowing that I don't want to think about it. I'll just ignore it. I'll act like everything's fine and maybe I'll deal with it on my deathbed. What a horrible life those people condemn themselves to. Yes, the Lord is awesome. And yes, the Lord is almighty. And he is eternal and he is the great judge. All the more reason to get right with him. All the more reason to use the tools that he has given us humans to find salvation. Moses says, don't run away from the Lord God Almighty, but run to him and boldly ask. Ask for these blessings. Now Moses gives a list of things that he encourages us to ask God. And when he gives us this list, these are not wishy-washy questions. These are imperatives. These are bold requests. And you don't have to be afraid to talk to the Lord this way, because the Lord told his man Moses to teach us to do this. Pray these things. Lord, teach us to number our days in such a way that we bring a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. In the verses of Psalm 90 that we skipped because of length, Moses had a very famous passage which said, the days of our lives add up to 70 years or 80 if we are strong. Moses knew what he was talking about. Life expectancy in the United States is 78.79 years. Right on the button. Now Moses himself lived to be 120 years old, which is the absolute max that the Lord decreed in Genesis chapter 6. Now the point of Moses teaching us to pray this way is that we pray that the Lord help us prepare for our own departure from this world. No matter how old you are, your end is coming, and you are to be ready. And the way to be ready to meet the Lord is by repentance, which also is a gift of God, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit works that desire in our hearts to be right with the Lord. The Spirit convinces us to confess our sins to the Lord and then also to believe that our sins are all forgiven in the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. So we pray, Lord, make us ready. Turn, O Lord, how long? Change your mind toward your servants. The person who has repented of his sins and trusts in God's Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, is ready to meet the Lord. And so Moses says, pray for it. How long, Lord? We're waiting. Come, Lord Jesus. We want to go to heaven. Let's go already. Now Moses knew all about this waiting stuff. For he was the Lord's man to lead the Lord's people Israel out of the slavery of Egypt, where they had been for 400 years. You think you've been waiting a long time for the Lord? What about them? But like them, the Lord will come to you. And we speed his coming by praying for it. Satisfy us in the morning with your mercy, so that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Yeah, it's all about the Lord's mercy. God looks on us sinners. He clearly sees all of our sins and failures and evil desires and wickedness. And he says, I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to forgive your sins in my Son's blood. We deserve none of the Lord's love and favor, and that's why it's called mercy. Mercy, by definition, cannot be earned. And Moses would have us ask for the Lord's mercy every morning. That's really bold, to ask for something that you not only don't deserve, but also to ask for something that you disqualify yourself for every previous day. But Moses says, no, you don't understand the Lord. He wants to give you this mercy. He loves to, for he stands all day long with his arms open, waiting for you sinners to come running to him with tears and repentance, pleading for his mercy and forgiveness. He has more mercy than you have requests. Ask him. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us. Make us glad. The Lord knows your past. The Lord knows your future. And the Lord knows your troubles. And no, Moses did not make a mistake here by saying that the Lord has afflicted us for many days. No, that's how it works. Your problems and your troubles have been handpicked for you by the Lord. He is the one who let it happen on purpose, also that you would realize how weak you are, how much you need him, and would cry out to him for help and salvation. See, we are so rebellious that if we were given a life of nothing but blessings, we would very quickly forget the Lord, claim our own victory, and then start running after all the garbage of this world. No, your afflictions are good, for they make you reliant on the Lord. They make you cling to him and cry out to him for the strength of every day. But that also means that it is the Lord who can make you glad. So when you see his son, when you finally realize your salvation in Christ, and on that last day, when you finally see his face, the Lord will give you a joy that will never be diminished and will never be taken away from you forever. Let your deeds be seen by your servants and your majesty by their children. What deeds is Moses talking about here that we long to see? Well, it's not the parting of the sea or manna from heaven. Israel had those blessings and they despised them. They used them as reasons to curse the Lord. No, much better than miracles on the earth are miracles that the Lord does in people's hearts. You want to see a great deed of the Lord? Look at the faith of your children and grandchildren. A person with a believing family has tasted the Lord's goodness. Faith is the richest blessing that the Lord gives. It's another one of those blessings that the unbelievers cannot even begin to imagine. Yet it's a blessing that gives peace in the night to God's selected few. May the kindness of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Finally, Moses asks for success. Establish the work of our hands. But probably not in the way you would think. Remember that God's ways are not our ways. What God calls success, we would probably not call success. God's success is simply that his will is done. And sometimes that will includes a sinner repenting and finding salvation in Jesus Christ, his Savior. Other times the will of God is that an unbeliever be hardened by the word of God and get what they desire, a life without the Lord. Our simple prayer is that the Lord would use us for whatever purposes he has determined. Just hold on to us the whole way, Lord. Keep us as your own. Whatever we have to go through until we get to your promised land. Remember that Moses never made it. Because of Moses' big mistake, he did not get to enter Canaan. Rather, Moses died on top of a mountain that overlooked the promised land that he would never set his foot upon. But Moses didn't care. He never complained. He never got to be there, but he got to be with the Lord. Moses, from that moment on to this very moment, lives in a much better promised land. The same one that we are striving toward. So, Lord, keep us as your own and use us for your own good purposes until we see you for ourselves. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.